Ever catch yourself wondering why you suddenly felt irritated with a colleague, only to realize later you'd skipped breakfast? Or why you bought that overpriced gadget you never use? We walk through life convinced we're rational actors, making deliberate choices. But the truth is far stranger. The vast majority of what drives us, our decisions, attractions, judgments, and even our sense of self, happens beneath the surface of awareness. This isn't some mystical force or Freudian drama of repressed desires. It's simply how our brains work. We're running on autopilot far more than we'd like to admit, and the conscious mind we trust so deeply is often just along for the ride, narrating a story it didn't write. Understanding these hidden forces doesn't strip away agency. It expands it, revealing the intricate dance between what we know and what we can never fully access about ourselves. About a third of your brain handles visual processing, yet you experience none of this work. Your brain detects edges, interprets color, calculates depth, and recognizes faces, all before presenting what feels like direct perception. It's actually a constructed model, a best guess from incomplete information. Consider Tien, a man blinded by strokes destroying his visual cortex. He couldn't consciously see anything, yet navigated obstacles perfectly. This phenomenon, blindsight, reveals we respond to things we never consciously perceive. Our brains constantly fill gaps, patching blind spots, completing masked sounds, editing out blur during eye movements. Memory proves equally unreliable. In 1984, Jennifer Thompson studied her rapist's face, determined to remember him. She identified Ronald Cotton with absolute certainty. DNA later proved another man committed the crime. The Innocence Project found 75% of DNA exonerations involved mistaken eyewitness identification. Evolution favored good enough memory, sufficient to recognize dangers and find food, not burdened by details. We remember meaning, but discard specifics, unconsciously filling blanks. Then we remember the memory, not the original event, reinforcing fabrications each time we recall them. Social pain activates the same brain regions as physical pain. When excluded in virtual ball-tossing games, the anterior cingulate cortex lights up, the same area processing stubbed toes. Tylenol reduces both pain types. This explains why social isolation rivals smoking and obesity as a health risk. Isolated people were twice as likely to die in one 9-year study. Our need for connection may have driven human intelligence. Around 50,000 years ago, humans suddenly developed cooperative hunting and cultural rituals, possibly from enhanced social capabilities. This theory of mind, understanding others' thoughts, distinguishes us from other species. The neocortex to brain ratio predicts social group size of about 150, matching Aboriginal clans, military units, and Christmas card lists. Brain chemistry shapes these connections profoundly. When someone demonstrates trust in economic games, their partner's brain releases oxytocin. A gene governing vasopressin receptors affects bonding. Men with fewer receptors are twice as likely to experience marital problems. Our social behavior isn't just learned, it's wired into our biology. In 1904, Clever Hans, a German horse, seemingly performed arithmetic. Psychologist Oscar Fungst revealed the truth. Hans responded to questioners' unconscious body shifts signaling when to stop tapping. We constantly transmit messages through channels beyond conscious control. When teachers believed average students were gifted, those children's IQ scores surged. 80% gained at least 10 points, 20% gained over 30 points. The teacher's unconscious expectations, conveyed through subtle behaviors, literally enhanced intelligence. Emotional expressions provide evolutionary advantages. While anyone can fake a smile using mouth muscles, genuine smiles activate involuntary eye muscles, creating crow's feet. Even congenitally blind children make these expressions, proving they're innate. Dominance hierarchies emerge through gaze patterns. The visual dominance ratio, how much you look while speaking versus listening, reflects social hierarchy. High-status people maintain ratios near 1.0, subordinates average 0.6. Women prefer deeper male voices, and men unconsciously lower their pitch when feeling dominant. touch creates powerful connections. Men who briefly touched women's forearms while requesting phone numbers doubled their success rate. Most remarkably, the majority don't consciously register being touched. In the 1950s, researchers studied two groups of 11-year-old boys at summer camp. Initially separate, each formed distinct identities, the Rattlers and Eagles, with flags and unique norms. When brought together through competitive activities, hostility erupted, flag burning, raids, and physical confrontations. This us-versus-them mentality evolved from prehistoric survival, when neighboring groups competed for scarce resources. Once we identify with a group, its views infiltrate our thinking. Muzaffar Sharif showed subjects a stationary dot that appeared to move. When three people viewed it together and called out perceived distances, their different estimates converged to a group norm. A week later, individuals tested alone maintained their group's perception, showing how deeply in-group views become our reality. The requirements for kinship are remarkably minimal. Subjects arbitrarily assigned to meaningless groups, Cleve versus Kandinsky fans or dot estimators, showed strong favoritism. When distributing money, they maximized the difference between in-group and out-group rewards, even sacrificing total points to their own group. Yet discrimination isn't inevitable. When the Rattlers and Eagles worked together solving common problems, like fixing the camped water supply, conflict dramatically decreased, revealing that our tribal instincts, while powerful, aren't destiny. Why did you choose your career, your partner, that shirt this morning? You probably have ready answers, but they're likely wrong. Our conscious mind excels at creating explanations for decisions our unconscious already made. In experiments where researchers secretly swapped photos, 75% of subjects didn't notice and confidently explained why they preferred the face they'd actually rejected. Men interviewed on a terrifying swaying bridge were more likely to call an attractive female interviewer afterward than those on a stable bridge, mistaking fear-based arousal for attraction. Our left brain constantly seeks order, inventing explanations rather than performing true introspection. We make decisions, like impulsively buying an expensive rug, without understanding why, then rationalize them afterward. The real sources of our emotions lie in brain structures like the thalamus and amygdala that operate beyond conscious access. The stories we construct about our motivations are useful fiction that helps us function, but fiction nonetheless. We navigate life as strangers to ourselves, trusting narratives our unconscious wrote without our knowledge. This isn't a flaw, it's essential. Our unconscious processes 11 million bits of information per second, while consciousness handles 50. Without this division, we'd be paralyzed. The question isn't whether to trust gut or reason, they're partners. Your unconscious excels at pattern recognition, social navigation, and rapid threat assessment. Your conscious mind excels at deliberation, planning, and overriding automatic responses. Both are essential. Both are flawed. Understanding subliminal forces doesn't strip away agency. It expands it. When you recognize that dislike of a colleague might stem from their resemblance to someone from your past, you can choose differently. When you notice yourself rationalizing a purchase, you can pause. When you catch yourself stereotyping, you can consciously counteract it. We can't eliminate unconscious influence, but we can stop pretending it doesn't exist. We can question our certainties, acknowledge our biases, and recognize that our stories are provisional. In a world demanding absolute confidence, admitting how little we truly know about others, the world, and ourselves might be the most radical act. That humility isn't weakness, it's the beginning of wisdom.